Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the numbers that are trading in Chicago from the CME Group at this hour. Corn futures are down 2 cents in the nearby July at $4.41, December at $4.39 and three quarters a penny lower. The March at $4.50 and a quarter down a penny, and July down 1 cent as well. That's trading at $4.63 and a half, now down a penny and three quarters. July soybeans down a quarter at $14.13 and a quarter. November at $12.25 and a half. Half up one. January beans at 12.32, three quarters higher. July of next year at 12.45 and a half, up two and a quarter. Bean meal is a dollar higher. Bean oil down 26 cents. August live cattle $1.22 and a half higher. August feeders up $1.95. They're trading at 212.57 and a half, and lean hogs are 50 cents higher for the day. In the soft red winter wheat, the trade in July for the harvest month at 573 and a half, up 2.5 cents. The hard red July at 710 and a half. That's a nickel higher. On the phone line with us this morning to take a look at all these numbers and how the trade is ensuing in Chicago is Jackie Venk. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Oh, good morning, Todd.
And tell me about the marketplace as you see it at this point and what your expectations for the rest of the week might be. Hogs and Pigs report is due out. Grain stocks and acreage reports are next week on Monday.
You betcha. And I think we have to expect that we're going to continue to see consolidation, especially in the corn market and in December corn in particular. I think that there's just too many questions. The average guess of 91.7 million acres may be a little bit too high, and yet the range is there. So if we pick up the range, we'll be all right. The big thing is when you look at Monday, what a messy day. You know, it's the end of the quarter. It's the end of the month, as well as the acreage report and the grain stocks report. And you mentioned the quarterly hog and pig report that's coming out this afternoon. You know, that gives us more direction, too, as to how many animals are actually consuming and the expectations. So we have a lot going on. I think when you look at the big picture, the trade in general is relatively supportive when it comes to old crop beans, with the expectation that we're going to see a lot tighter numbers. Negative to new crop, thinking that we're going to have higher acreage. Uncertain on corn, just in general. The grain stocks report, no matter how we look at it, is going to be higher than it was a year ago at this time. And so that'll be just how much higher is going to be the whole key. The average guess is 3.7 billion bushels. And, you know, everything depends upon how good the reporting is really what it comes down to. Wheat, of course, being supported today at least by the fact that they had to postpone the harvest report again due to rain. And yet I just finished talking to one of our guys from out in Nebraska, and he's going, you know, Jackie, the drought's over out here, and we couldn't be more thrilled because that gives us about 5 good years, you know. And so, you know, on one side it really hurts, and on the other side it's not so bad, you know. We look at the corn market being down again. Well, you know, we've got all kinds of fireworks going on over in the cattle and the feeders. Feeders, of course, as long as corn goes down, seem to have lots and lots of momentum to the top side, and more new contract highs again today. So going to be interesting.
It'll be interesting to watch that one. Will it break at any time? I mean, certainly you would think that there would be enough that are kept back that eventually those feeder cattle have to break.
Well, I would expect so, but, you know, the cattlemen can still make money, and, you know, it's not a big losing situation like we've seen in other years, and so that normally continues to push things forward. I would expect they'd break back, you know, on any rise in corn price. Let's say next week, Monday, we come in with a positive number and the market really jumps higher. I think we'll see some profit taking, but the reality is we're really tight. The one thing that the fellow I was just talking to from Nebraska is a cattle feeder, and he said, you know, the one thing feeder guys will do is they'll break their own legs is what they'll do. You know, they'll get wildly bullish and they'll start going crazy, and then things will fall apart. And so down the line, I would expect that. But, you know, we're going to fight higher prices in feeders probably for close to 2 years, as well as the rain out there has dramatically improved pasture. And, you know, so then that takes cattle out of the selling loop, too. And so, you know, that's supporting why we're going higher at this stage, too. You know, just crazy.
You mentioned that this coming Monday's grain stocks report for corn, no matter how you cut it, will be bigger than last year's. And it might be important to remind folks that last year we were looking at grain stocks left over from the drought year in corn of from 2012. It was 2.766 billion bushels. The average trade guess, about 3.7. So trade is expecting a billion more bushels in the bin this year than they did a year ago.
Absolutely, and you know, and that's going to be. And if you look at the average analyst guesses, you know, the range is huge. I mean,
yeah.
The range goes anywhere from like 3.5 up to 4 billion.
It's a billion bushel range. It's enormous.
Yeah, it's huge, is what it is. And so, you know, that's why I believe that this consolidation action that we've got going on in the grain market is real, and it's going to be here for the rest of the week, because I don't think anybody's willing to push it too hard to the downside until they actually find out where we're really at.
Yeah, all of this comes, as you mentioned, at the end of the month, the end of a six-month period, the end of a quarter. July 4th is always a good time to change direction, but right now, if you're sideways to down, I don't know, what's the change in direction potential?
Well, I think that, you know, the big key will be, more than anything, the corn market itself in general is going to have to digest what happens here. Let's say we come in at that 3.7, okay?
Right.
What does that imply in terms of carryout in the marketplace? And, you know, in other words, is it really going to affect the carryout number at the bottom? The big thing on the acreage, you know, that we know, Todd, is that, well, the last numbers had to be turned in by the 18th, and when I talked with the USDA about this to ask him some questions, he said, remember one thing, Jackie, he said, it doesn't make a difference if something's standing underwater. We want to know if it's been planted, and we do ask if they expect to harvest it. But he said, how can you say, no, I don't expect to harvest it right now? And on top of that, these heavy rains came primarily after that point in time. So, you know, that's going to be the wild card, how the trade interprets the acreage number on corn. And do they seriously look at, you know, can the main part of the belt, which seems to be doing very well, offset some of the losses from up there?
In fact, the trade is worried that they're worried. The trade has been thinking that some of these numbers, the acreage report number, will reflect what's happened in the last week in the northern, northwestern part of the Corn Belt, I think, cannot be in the numbers.
No, absolutely. There's no way that it can be in the numbers, because the majority of it is taken in the first 2 weeks. The deadline to get it in is on the 18th, and so basically it will reflect what acres were planted at that point in time and what the expectation was. You know, and until these heavy rains came, I don't think the expectation was that they weren't going to harvest those numbers. So you know, the big thing will be up to the trade to try and interpret what's going on, and that will only be done by when we look at crop ratings, you know, and what's happening up there, and of course the individual areas. And you know, we're hearing some corn tasseling down here already.
Yep.
And I actually got some pictures this morning. he said, I know you won't believe me, so here's a picture. And I think that we're going to have a huge part of the belt that's going to be tasseling as we get into the 4th of July, which is a rather normal time of year for us. And unless we have a major threatening weather, boy, I'll tell you what, you could see some really big numbers. And I really feel for the guys up in the northern section. My guys up there, you know, it's extremely tough to see other places doing as well as they are, and to have them looking down the throat of this and knowing that they're maybe only 10 to 20% of the entire crop, if they're that much. And so it's tough.
Well, we thank you for joining us this morning. We'll talk with you again during the closing market report this afternoon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the mid-morning market report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
A quick look at the trade in Chicago. Futures in the corn pit are down about a penny for the day. Soybeans are down a half in the nearby July. The rest of them up 1 to 2. Wheat futures are 2 cents higher in the soft red, 7 in the hard red and four in the nearby July there. Live cattle futures are up, 50 cents for the day. Feeder cattle are up $1.50, and lean hogs are up about 30 cents on the morning. You, of course, are listening to WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We'll be back with another update in just 1 hour.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
This is Illinois Public Media.